Our ninth loving look at lessons in truth concerns the secret place of the Most High. And Dr. Katie begins her chapter with some very significant words. She writes, "There is nothing the human heart so longs for, so cries out after, as to know God." How right Dr. Katie is. But notice that she designates this particular longing as the longing of the human heart. Now, the human intellect may long for other things, but the human heart longs to know God. What do we mean by knowing God? If we mean to gain a lot of information about knowledge of God, why then, we have lots and lots of books we can read about that. Will this satisfy the longing of our heart, do you think? I think not. Because if this was the case, it would simply mean that the more books you read, the less longing would there be in your heart. But I have noticed that the more good reading I do about knowledge of God, the more strongly my heart longs to know God. The big problem for many of us in our longing to know God is the fact that the human mind tends to cling to the habit of thinking of God as a person or an object. Now, in longing to know God, we might slip into the old concept of getting to know God is the same as getting to know a certain person. We would then think in terms of getting close to where he is located in space, maybe somewhere out there. We would think in terms of God having some kind of a personality, and we would wonder if our personality would harmonize with his, or whether we might clash. We would tend to speculate on God's physical appearance. What does he look like? How large is he? We would then wonder what he thinks of our physical appearance, whether he will approve or disapprove. Now, I hope I am making my point about the fallacy of continuing to think of God as some kind of person located out there. If this is anyone's image of God, then I must tell that person that their longing to know God will never be satisfied. Until such a God thought is changed, there simply is no hope for the longing in that heart to know God. But if God is not a person, then what is he? If he is not located somewhere in space out there, then where is he? If God does not have a personality, then how can we communicate with him, and how can we ever possibly get to know him? Let us start with the definitions of God given to us directly by Jesus Christ. Jesus had only three definitions concerning God, which he shared with us. They are, 1, God is spirit, 2, God is good, 3, God is our Father. God is spirit, God is good, God is our Father. If these statements ring true with you, and if they carry any meaning into your heart, then you are ready for the next step. The next step is this. Can you understand that while God is not a person, God is a presence? Does a presence have to be a person? Does a presence have to be a thing, an object? No. A presence can be something which the human intellect has not as yet even conceived of. A presence can be something for which there are no existing words. Words might point toward that presence. Words might be able to describe the effect that presence has on us. Words might even be able to describe the manner in which that presence responds to us. But how can we describe the presence itself? Actually, we can't. We can only do one thing with the presence of God. We can either know it or not know it. Jesus taught that the only way to ever get to know the presence of God is to first of all know where it is to be found. Some persons hope that they will find God between the covers of a book. It must be a very expensive book, and it must be authored by a person who has himself read many, many other books. But if one can find this book, and if one can understand what one is reading, then one might very well discover the presence of God. But the fact is, no one has ever yet discovered God in this way. There are those who think that God's presence will be discovered if one follows a certain diet, eating only those foods and drinking those liquids which conform to the ideals of the dietary system. There are those who think that God's presence can be known by intake of certain drugs or chemicals. Some persons believe they will find the presence of God if they go into certain trance states. There are those who can descend into trance levels of mind with very little effort, and in these trance states they may make startling, even wonderful discoveries. Much of it might indeed sound like the actual discovery of the presence of God. But what it always turns out to be is information preserved on the astral planes of existence. Much of this can be beautiful and fascinating, but it is not really the presence of God, and therefore astral revelations can never really satisfy the longing of the human heart. All of the methods I have so far discussed as ways and means by which man searches for the only thing that will ever satisfy the longing of the heart, that is, knowing the presence of God, all these I have mentioned so far are the detours. Many are still traveling the detours. They will not find the presence of God on these detours. But will they ever find the presence of God? Absolutely, they will. Why? Because they are sincere in their search. Their very sincerity will make their search successful. They will find that even on the detour, they will receive help, which will wake them up to the fact that they are on a detour. They will be given divine guidance, and if they accept the divine guidance, then they will be quickly led away from the detour and placed on a correct path. So in this sense, we might say that even the detours are successful, not in finding the presence of God, but in finding that which will eventually lead us to the presence of God. So if searching for the presence of God in books, in sermons, in diets, in drugs, in chemicals, in geographical locations, in psychic trances, are all detours, then how can we say that success will eventually come of them? Simply this. If such detours are followed with sincerity of purpose and goodness of heart, then they will lead a person into something which will awaken him and guide him, change his direction. he will be rewarded for his sincerity by being guided to the pathway which is no longer a detour, but is a direct access to the presence of God. And this right pathway has a name which is crystal clear to all who hear it. Its name is Within. Listen to now what Charles Fillmore has written in his book, Jesus Christ Heals. The kingdom of God is within you. It is to this inner center that we should direct our attention when praying or meditating. David called this spiritual center of the soul the secret place of the Most High. Now listen to the warm, sweet words from the pen of Dr. Emily Cady in our chapter on the secret place. She writes, "Beloved, that which you so earnestly desire will never be found by your seeking it through the intellect alone, any more than it has heretofore been found through the emotional side alone. Intuition and intellect are meant to travel together. Intuition always holds the reins to guide the intellect. If you have been thus far on the way cultivating and enlarging only the mental side of truth, as probably is the case, you need, in order to come into the fullness of understanding, to let the mental side rest a while. Become as a little child and learn how to be still. Listen to that which God will say to you through the intuitional part of your being. The light that you so crave will come out of the deep silence and become manifest to you from within yourself, if you will but keep still and look for it from within." Now what Jesus has told us, what Charles Fillmore has told us, and what Dr. Cady has told us are all one and the same instruction. It is an instruction as to where to direct your search for the one and only thing which will satisfy the longing of your heart, the longing to know the presence of God. That search has, for most of us, been conducted on the pathway of detours. But since our search was sincere and the motive of our search was good, we are now being instructed in how to let go of all detours and come directly onto the right path, the path called within. For each of us, there is only one place where true knowing the presence of God can be found and experienced in order to satisfy the longing of our heart. That place is within us, our own spiritual center. Here the presence of God abides in oneness with our own Christ Spirit. All power, all love, and all wisdom have their source in the God presence within us, the Christ. Remember that the outer things in the world may continue to exert their own special fascination for us, but they alone can never satisfy the longing of our heart. External factors are in a constant process of change, of flux, of coming and going, and outer factors depend on time, place, and circumstances. But all true satisfaction comes from within. Within is the only direction which is truly Godward. The Godward direction leads each one of us to the successful result of our efforts to really know the presence of God, that place within where God's abiding at all times in oneness with our own Christ Spirit is truly the secret place, for each individual can find it only for himself or herself. But once you find it, You always know the way. You will never again lose it. You will return again and again as often as you choose. You will still have your place in the world and your role to play in the world, but never again will you call the world your only reality. You will know a greater reality. It is the reality of the secret place within you, where you meet the loving presence of God and where you find all the peace, power, and satisfaction your heart can ever need or desire. This is the place, the secret place, your secret and God's secret, but a secret which you now fully understand. It is the kingdom of God, of all good, and as Jesus has told us, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Our tenth loving look at lessons in truth concerns finding the secret place. Even though we continue to refer to it as a secret place, it is no secret any longer as to where it is located. It is within. It is within every person, and it is always there. It does not go away, and it never changes. But even though many persons have no argument whatsoever about the fact that it is within them and within all persons, some do have difficulty in determining just how they shall go about discovering it within themselves, and many persons are interested in finding methods by means of which they might abide in it for longer periods than they are ordinarily capable of. Well, first of all, we must realize that the secret place of the Most High within us is a place of stillness and silence. It is not a place of noise or frantic movement. It is a kingdom of stillness and silence. It is the kingdom of God, and the very Spirit of God is always present in this inner place of stillness and silence. Now, the words stillness and silence do not mean the same as nothingness. Silence is not nothing. Stillness is not nothing. Silence and stillness are definitely something. And that something which they are is pure power, pure strength. This is the climate of the secret place of the Most High within us. It is the climate of pure power and pure strength. When we enter into our secret place, we enter the climate of power and strength. We literally breathe in this good climate. We receive new strength and new power into our mind, into our soul, and from there it flows into our body. It renews our vitality and energy. It tones up the molecular structure of our cells, our organs, and our body chemistry. How do we find this secret place where such blessings always await us? Like all spiritual effort, it must begin with desire. We must admit within ourselves a desire to know the secret place, to enter it, and to partake of whatever it has in store for us. Desire should always precede effort. And all desire must be genuine and sincere. Do I really desire to find stillness and silence within myself? Do I really desire to make direct contact with pure power and pure strength? Do I really desire to experience a renewal of vital energies in my soul and in my body? Am I willing to admit that these things can come only from Spirit, from the Spirit of God which indwells me? If the desire is there, and if the willingness follows the desire, then all things are ready. Anyone who comes thus far can now go all the way. The door to the secret place of the Most High is open, and the seeker can now become the finder. Two of the most valuable tools which are used by the willing seeker of truth are those called attention and concentration. In whatever direction we aim our attention and concentration, that is the direction we shall travel. If our direction is always outward, always externalized, then we shall journey only in the pathway which Jesus called this world. And Jesus has some things to say about what we will find if we travel only the direction of this world. He tells us, "In the world ye have tribulation." But if we turn the direction of our attention and concentration within, then we are immediately traveling in the direction of the kingdom of God. How fortunate we are that a large number of the right persons have discovered the way to enter that way, that inner way. We had our great way shower in Jesus Christ. Then we had the great souls who followed him and made the way easier for us. We had St. Paul, Jacob Boehm, Brother Lawrence, Emma Curtis Hopkins, Rudolf Steiner, Mary Baker Eddy, Phineas Quimby, Emmett Fox, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And we must acknowledge a very special debt of love and gratitude to the author of the book we're talking about, Dr. Emily Cady. All these wonderful souls not only proved that the inward direction of attention and concentration leads directly into God's kingdom, but they demonstrated in their lives and in their works what can be gained and shared by finding this kingdom. They not only knew for themselves the beauty and wonder of the secret place of the Most High, but they urged their students to travel that same path and find those same blessings. And each of them gave clear and simple instructions as how one can do this. In this lesson, we're considering Dr. Cady's instructions. Although Dr. Cady was a successful lecturer and writer herself, she spends a good deal of time in her book suggesting that the speaker, or rather the seeker, come to the realization that what might be gained from books and lectures has a definite limit. Books and lectures can point the way, but they can never become the way. Books and lectures can guide and encourage, but they cannot be the actual vehicles of our growth. The only things that can actually do the work for us of taking us into the secret place of God's kingdom are our own willingness and our individual effort. Listen to these words directly from Dr. Cady. After all our beating about the bush, seeking here and there for our heart's desire, we must come right to Him who is the fulfillment of every desire, who waits to manifest more of Himself to us and through us. If you wanted my love or anything that I am, you would not go to Tom Jones or Mary Smith to get it. Either of these persons might tell you that I could and would give myself, but you would have to come directly to me and receive of me that which only I am, because I am it. In some way, after all are seeking for God and light and truth, we must learn to wait, each one for himself, upon God directly for this inner revelation of truth and our oneness with him. And how true this is that Dr. Cady has written. All too often, when we are in need of any spiritual help or blessing, we tend to approach persons or things which may tell us about God or tell us how to ask God for help and guidance, when all the while we have God himself present and available to us in the fullness of his power and love. Silence, stillness, meditation, prayer. These are the ways to attain a direct awareness of oneness with God. One of the problems some truth seekers have reported is some confusion in thinking about just what form God has within them in the secret place. This is an understandable problem because the human mind is strongly conditioned to think of only things formed and tangible as being real. God within us is the greatest reality of all, but God is not a thing formed or a tangible entity. The best and most accurate word we have in human language to designate how God is within us is the word presence. Try to think of presence, not as an object or a thing or an entity of any sort. Yet it is the greatest of all realities. It is the presence, the ultimate presence, the infinite presence. A person makes a great breakthrough in his spiritual understanding when he can realize that in referring to God within as a presence, we do not mean an entity. God presence in us is felt by us as our spirit. The idea of God's presence in us is called the Christ. The emotion of God's presence in us is called the Father. The logic of God's presence in us is called law. The activity of God's presence in us is called by two names, either indwelling Lord or Holy Spirit. But whatever name we may choose to refer to that presence, we must remember that it is really God's presence in the secret place within our own being. The Unity minister who had the greatest influence on my life always opened every prayer meeting which she conducted in the same way. She always used the same format, and we all loved it. She would say, "Let us become still. Turn within. Acknowledge the loving presence and power of God." When she would say this, and we would follow her words, we found that we were almost instantaneously in a dimension of ourself that was not ordinarily the case. We were now traveling in a different direction of consciousness. We had ceased the externalized journey into this world and had entered the internal journey back into God's kingdom. And it was always a new joy and a new delight to find that his kingdom was still there, awaiting us in all its peace and beauty. And after we spent a few moments in quiet relaxation in this secret place, then our active prayer meeting would begin in which we would do our work of affirming and praying for ourself and others. A lesson like this would not be complete if we did not take some time to touch upon two very common problems which people encounter even when they have acquired the ability to find and enter the secret place within themselves. These are the problems of intruding and disturbing thoughts and the question of the time element. First, let's take the disturbing thoughts which sometimes invade our quiet times of prayer. Now, these can take many forms, ranging all the way from unhappy memories or thoughts concerning the present. Sometimes this can be thoughts of fear and depression, but it is usually an unwelcome invasion which disturbs our quiet prayer time. What should one do when this happens? First of all, do not resent it. Do not fight it. Do not blame anyone or anything. Treat it gently. Speak softly. Either invite these thoughts to come in and become part of your prayer time, or gently tell them to leave and wait their turn until you can return to them and properly give them your attention. It is amazing how they will obey you if you don't get too rough with them. They will do exactly what you have suggested. They will either come in and actually become part of your prayer effort, or they will go away and bide their time until you choose to attend to them later. This is not difficult, believe me. Now as to the time factor, how much time to spend in the secret place? The surprising answer is, it really doesn't matter. In the secret place, time has no meaning as it has in the outer world. A second has the same value as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can be as 1 second. Do not be concerned about time when you are in the secret place in prayer. Spend as much time as you feel right and comfortable about spending, or as brief a time as seems right to you. The important thing is to get to know the secret place. Learn to love the secret place. Never forget for one instant who and what is in your secret place. It is the presence of God, the Christ, the Father, the indwelling Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Give thanks. Give thanks that this is always so. It will always be so. You are always more than welcome as you enter the secret place of the Most High. And you are always more than welcome to partake of all the spiritual treasures which you will find there. The secret place within you is actually God's kingdom, and it is the real source of all your good. And it is your Father's good pleasure to give you that good.